Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus this question: Are you the one that is supposed to come, or are we looking for another? And there's a divergent opinion in the teaching of the church on whether it was John that was asking this question, or whether he had the disciples ask the question. Whether it was John that needed a reassurance from Jesus that he was the one, the Messiah, that was to come, or whether he needed to strengthen the faith of his disciples, because they were a bit unsteady, and they would get the answer from Christ and then be reassured. But whether it's just from John the Baptist or whether from his disciples, we see that the Lord Jesus answers the question in the affirmative by showing that the signs that were to be fulfilled in the Messianic age are indeed being fulfilled. Go and tell John those things that you see and hear. And then he shows what the prophets had foretold, the Messiah, when he comes, then the blind would see, the lame would walk, lepers would be cleansed, the deaf would hear, and the dead would be raised up. And then he adds, and the gospel is preached to the poor. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. And then he gives a beatitude, another blessing. Blessed is the one who is not offended in me. So this is the word back to John. We might see that John or his disciples had an expectation of who Jesus would be that is not being fulfilled, but now Christ is showing who he really is, and they then have to adjust to that. There is the expectation, and there is the reality. And this is something of the mystery of our faith, is it not? How do we expect God to be, and how does he show himself to us? And are we willing to be humble enough to accept God as he is? There is the teaching then of Christ in the same time frame that he's giving this answer back to John through his disciples. He also says to those who are gathered about, what did you expect of John? What were you expecting when you went out to the wilderness to see John? And perhaps their expectation had been that he would be one of the religious elite like they were used to, one that was bending with the wind, kind of a popular, seeing what would be popular to preach and then preaching that. Or one that would be not steadfast in the proclamation of truth. Or perhaps he'd be one that would be like their religious elite at that time, were said to have been clothed like the courtiers in Herod's household. They had fine garments, and they wore rich clothing and soft clothes, like the princes. Were they expecting that? Because that would be kind of the common idea of a religious man. He's got that kind of clothing. No, they didn't see that when they went to see John. They saw one who was steadfast in the proclamation of truth, and one who was clothed in the skin of a camel and who ate locusts and wild honey. He was one who came out of the desert places with a very rigorous form of asceticism that was extraordinary and different. That's who they found. So were they willing to accept him as he then preached unto them? In the same way, it would reflect back on, are you willing to accept me, the Messiah, as I am presenting myself? That again becomes a question for us in our own Christian walk. How do we understand God, and when he reveals himself to us, are we willing then to accept him as he reveals himself? Are we humble enough to accept him as he presents himself to us? There is a blessing that is given to those who are willing to receive it, and who are not offended by Christ when he reveals himself to them. We see in our own Christian experience that the messianic signs are being fulfilled spiritually, for sure. Some experience dramatic forms of healing that are on the external, but spiritually, all of us are receiving what Christ came to bring. So, for example, we can see that we were brought out of darkness into his own glorious light. Jesus is illuminating us and bringing us into a place where we can now see clearly. I once was blind, but now I see. It's as if the muck is being wiped out of our eyes by penitential tears, and we're able to see clearly now that what really matters in this life. is to love and be loved, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and to receive God's salvation. Now we see it. We see it. There is also the, we didn't know which way to walk. In a way, we were rendered lame by our own acceptance of the world's ideologies. But now, being delivered from deceit and fraud, the path opens up to us, the pilgrim path, which is a path of humility and an arduous path, a narrow path, but leads to glory. We once were leprous. We had the leprosy of sin in our souls. We were dying by degrees, by the sin that clung to us that we could not scrape off of ourselves. But Jesus, in his mercy, by the fount that opened up from his side on the cross, that fountain of mercy now flows toward us. And with contrition, when we make confession, we are cleansed of our sins. He not only washes it off, he blots it out to be remembered no more. And now it's as if our soul is restored like that of an innocent child, and we can run, laugh, and play again in that liberty that is ours, now that are no longer lame in our spirit, but free. In the same way, once we were deaf to the word of God, but now, enlivened by the Holy Spirit, given to us by the Father and the Son, we now have the gift of the Spirit to make us attuned, to be able to hear those things that speak of the kingdom. So we can hear. We are those who have been raised up now from the dead. And if we have come to a place where we are casting off the works of darkness and now putting upon us the armor of light, that speaks of the first resurrection, which is Christ indwelling us, that is bringing us away from those things which tend toward death, bringing us into those things which tend toward life. And that already is a type of resurrection, a new life that God has given to us, and evidence of Christ himself indwelling us, the one who is indestructible life, who will raise us up again at the end of time. And so we are now in this Advent season, the season where we have the gift given, but we await the fullness of the manifestation of the kingdom of heaven, the new heavens, the new earth, which Christ will accomplish at his second coming. And he will come at a time that no man knows, but he will come again. And so we live according to that expectation, waiting for the Lord's manifestation, his fullness of his glory to be revealed, waiting to receive him with gladness when he ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. And so this is a way that we are receiving God. Will we receive it in its fullness is the question. And perhaps the epistle lesson helps us to see, just like Jesus said, well, go tell John what you see of the Messiah. And then he spoke about the minister, the one who was to prepare the way before him, was an extraordinary prophet of the Old Testament. You see, John, there was a prophecy about John in Malachi. There would come one before the Lord who would proclaim the way of the Lord to make his path straight. And John is extraordinary as a prophet of the Old Testament because he is one who prophesies the coming of the Lord and then sees his prophecy fulfilled. And behold, the Lamb of God, behold, the one. He sees an extraordinary prophet here. Well, in a way that we reflect upon the reality of Christ in our own lives, we see in the epistle lesson an invitation to reflect upon the ministers of Christ in our own age. And what do we hear the apostles say? We hear him say, judge nothing before the time. Let God be the judge. That's an important lesson for us in the Christian life. Pastors, the ministers of Christ, the bishops, the priests, the deacons, those who are set apart for this ministry to represent Christ, to represent Christ, how do they fail? In so many ways, they are such a disappointment. They don't come close to what they should be doing. How easy it is to judge them. Now, obviously, we have mechanisms of discipline. We call it in our canons, we have a way to pull the ministry off of a man who is evil and who has been judged to have committed crimes by two witnesses and through the process, a due process of canonical law. That's important for us. But even those who are not accused of any crime or who are not subject to the discipline of the church, that they lose their ministry. Even those who are in the fullness of the ministry, how they fall short. And how odd of God to commit to the hands of men the ministry of reconciliation. What was he thinking? But here we find St. Paul saying, no, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not about the minister, it's about Christ. And so, yes, we will see the human failings and the shortcomings of the ministers of Christ. Let us not judge them. Let God be their judge. And perhaps when we notice their failings and their frailty, let that be to us a bid for prayer for them. Let us then be reminded that we are to intercede for them as the people of God, to pray for our bishops, to pray for our priests, to pray for our deacons and for an increase in the ministry. Indeed, this week in Adventide is set aside as an embertide, where we pray for an increase in the ministry, where we fulfill, in answer to Christ's command, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest. That's one of Christ's commands to us. So we pray for that. And we pray for the ministers of the church. So whenever we see their shortcomings, their failings, let us not judge them, but see that as a reminder to pray for them, that they would be protected from the evil one, safeguarded from all evil, harm, and danger, that they would stay true to their vows in the ministry, that they would be strengthened in his service, that they would do well according to their calling. And pray for them. Pray for me. Pray for Deacon Gassatura. We'll pray this morning for our Archbishop John, who is struggling with health issues and trying to come back into fullness of health. Pray for us. And may God be glorified in those prayers. So today in Adventide, we have this sense of expectation, and then what is the fulfillment? The expectation, then the reality. I tell you this, in my own Christian walk, the longer I'm a Christian, the more I am surprised by the goodness of God. He's always better than I expected. There's something about him that is always beyond what I had thought he was before. He's better than I ever expected, always. I'll close with a little account of one of my colleagues in ministry, Father Richard Gilman, who helped start St. Thomas Church in San Francisco. And the founder of our province, Bishop Morris, had found a temporary location in San Francisco to start a parish called St. Thomas. He found it in a Swedenborgian chapel. Now, the congregation had long since dispersed, but the foundation held the properties, and they would rent it out for weddings. So when the bishop went to ask for the rental space, they said, well, great. And part of the package was not just the space on a Sunday morning, but also you had to hire the organist and a four-part choir, SATB, soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. So for a small church, they only had 10 or 15 people that would come on a Sunday. They had the, wonderful music. Well, one day, Father Gilman came at the appointed time, and here came his server, Mr. Gillespie. And they unpacked everything from the trunk of the car. They got everything set up in the church. About 5 minutes before, here came the soprano, the alto, the tenor, the bass, and the organist. They came filing in. And then when it was time for the service, there was nobody in the pews. But right on time, Father Gilman turned around and said, "The Lord be with you." And Mr. Gillespie said, "And with thy spirit." And they went on with the Mass. He preached his sermon. They sang the hymns together. And after they were all finished, the soprano came to him and she said, she said with tears in her eyes, I never understood what you were doing here until today. She said, "I thought for sure when nobody came and there was no audience, and no, you would just pack up the show and there'd be no show. But you're not here for show. You were here to worship. I get it." So may we be open to what God will bring us in this Adventide. And may we receive his love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.